Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing international college esports and academics. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, so all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Richard Withers. He's joining us from Finland. So thanks for joining us.
No problem at all. I'm happy to be here. This has been a long time coming, so I'm happy we're finally able to put it together.
Definitely. So, Richard, introduce yourself. You know, tell us about your prior esports and gaming experience. What was the first game you played?
Yeah, of course. So, I am Richard Withers. As said, I operate as the esports development manager here at the Kajaani University of Applied Sciences. We're located a bit north here in Finland. If you're not familiar with Finland, it's a smaller country here in the Nordics. And we host one of Europe's and still one of the world's few full esports business degrees. In terms of my gaming experience, of course, as I am originally from Canada, so North America, I am happy to say that I begun as a console peasant. So completely focusing on games like Call of Duty. I think looking back, it's hard to remember my first sort of esports title, but most likely it was MW2. Entered into the Call of Duty scene and started following the competitive ecosystem there. And of course, throughout my time in Canada, I continued to follow that. Surprisingly, at least where I grew up in a smaller town, PC gaming and PC esports weren't as popular. I really didn't know what I can remember anyone, at least in my friend group, that owned a PC. So I was fully focused on that up-and-coming console ecosystem with the Optic Gaming, the FaZe Clan, all the classics that you guys probably know. But when I first came to Finland a bit over 3 years ago now, I was introduced to the PC gaming world, and that of course opens up a whole new plethora of opportunities there. Started following CSGO mostly. Of course, it's quite similar in terms of a shooter like Call of Duty, so it was an easy transition there. And I started at the esports business program and started working with the university here. And from there, my knowledge of sort of the business side of esports continued to grow. And I'm happy to be where I am today, at least I hope, a member of this esports community here in Finland, but also I've made quite a few amazing connections worldwide. So I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So, you know, let's kind of talk about the university's esports program. So how did it start? You know, what hurdles did it encounter when it was being created? And how did you guys kind of overcome those?
Yeah, definitely. So this is actually a question I get quite a bit, be it from other universities or people just generally interested. How did this type of degree get started? The esports business degree here at KOMK was launched a bit over 3 years ago now. So we're getting our first round of graduates this year, actually, which is very exciting. At the time it launched, it was the first in the world, or one of the first, alongside Staffordshire, the university in the UK. And of course, with that, there was some difficulties, but I think being based in Finland, it has always been, the country, I mean, has always been quite advanced in terms of its acceptance of gaming and esports. I believe Kajaani University was one of the first in Europe to also offer a game development degree over 20 or so years ago, far before my time. But as you likely know, Finland is quite well known for game development, especially on the mobile side. Like some of the largest companies you can think of in that space, Rovio with Angry Birds, Supercell with their many, many popular titles. So I think gaming in general has really been accepted here in Finland, and of course across the Nordics, with Sweden being sort of the home of esports, especially on the CSGO and FPS side. So when there was the opportunity to be one of the first in the world to also have this esports business degree, it was surprisingly quickly accepted, at least by the upper management here. They've had that experience in gaming. So when the topic of having an esports business degree was brought up, they were very much excited. And of course, with that came the issues of educating the rest of the support staff. I would say, if I had to say, one of the main hurdles that the university and the initial development staff had to overcome is sort of educating the rest of the group. Because of course, anything you can imagine from the marketing team, the finance team, the legal team are older generation Finns. So maybe they don't have as much experience in what comes along when you have an esports business degree, because I can say it's completely different to how you need to operate. For example, we also have an English taught international business degree, and how that operates versus the esports business degree is completely different. How you market it needs to be done completely differently. The financial elements, especially when it comes to comp.gg, which we can talk about a bit later. But yeah, in short, just educating the rest of the support team here at the university that may not have been aware of what esports was and what hosting an esports business degree was all about.
Amazing. So tell us a little about, you know, the business degree. What are some of the courses that are offered, and what kind of makes it different than some other degrees that are offered at other colleges, you know, the folks in esports?
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, I can't go into too much detail into the other degrees that are offered worldwide, since I've only done some initial research from the outside looking in, of course. But at least from what I can see, I would say the European perspective compared to North America. I think a lot of the time, these North American colleges and universities are really putting a heavy focus into their facilities and also their collegiate esports scene, since of course, especially in the US, the collegiate esports scene is highly developed. It's coming, of course, from the traditional collegiate scene, something that is non-existent, at least here in Finland. So they don't have this traditional collegiate esports ecosystem, like soccer teams, football teams competing against each other. So when it came to esports, that was also something that wasn't really widely known. So just recently, over the last few years, especially last year, there has been some players coming into the space to host these university versus university leagues, but it's still very, very small scale. So I think that's one of the main differences is here at Kajaani University, and I think across Europe in these other esports focused degrees, it's really focusing on the educational element. So whenever we discuss our esports business degree, we like to highlight that it's not a player training course. So you're not going to improve your game in CSGO or anything like this. Of course, we do have some amazing facilities here, and we have had some semi-professional players come through our student group, and we are able to support them in many ways. But the main focus of the degree is highlighting the various career opportunities that are available in esports outside of playing professionally. Since, as you likely know, those who are able to make the transition to from being a talented player and esports enthusiast to actually making a career, it's just extremely rare. And often these people are not aware of the other career opportunities. For example, on the legal side or on the marketing or partnerships, there's a plethora of jobs that are available for those who aren't one of the very few lucky ones, even if they are very talented in a game, to be able to actually make a career as a professional player. So that's, I think, one of the main differentiating factors. And to give some insight into exactly what we're teaching here, it's quite a broad course. So esports business, of course, business, the term business can apply to many different areas. But if I had to narrow it down to the three main fields that we focus on, it would most likely be digital marketing. So of course, be it if you're entering a well-known organization already, the G2s and such of the world, or you're looking to start as an entrepreneur, start your own esports brand, digital marketing is sort of a must. So we have various courses focusing on how you can grow yourself, how you can get your brand in front of the fans and things like this. And then there's event management. So that's another huge area that we like to focus on. We work with a few event organizers here in Finland and worldwide to give our students the knowledge on how exactly esports events and tournaments operate globally. And then finally, business operations. So anything you can imagine on the business side. So how you actually run a business behind the scenes, human resources, PR, accounting, legal. So maybe not as exciting on paper as things like marketing or event management, but essential if you're looking to run an esports brand.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's a unique and amazing thing you point out is that it's more than just, hey, this is what esports is, or, you know, history of esports. It's, we're teaching you these translatable skills in the most important kind of parts. Because if you don't market a product and promote a product, then how can you do that? So whether it's an event or it's a team or it's a player themselves, understanding how to use different platforms, the way you hashtags work, the way the algorithms work, how you can boost a post, how you target different audiences, all these things are essential. And it's not like something that you just wake up and learn. It's something that you have to specifically try to learn. And the fact that you have courses that kind of focus on that, I think is, you know, really amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that takes time. And that's one of the main sort of worries, especially from the parents of these students who are joining such a degree is, they're getting a degree in esports business, but how about if they're not able to make a career in esports? How does this benefit them in the future? And we always like to highlight that they're getting very similar education to what, for example, our international business students are getting, or really any business related degree. So like I said, human resources, accounting. So regardless of if you in your future leave the esports industry, you're not in esports and gaming anymore, you still have these transmittable skills that you can use in really any industry in the business world.
And honestly, I feel like almost every entertainment property is going to have some esports gaming tangent. You know, I've talked with, you know, the last interview we did was an individual that worked at Columbia Records that was their head of gaming and kind of does these in-game concerts and all these other activations with the record labels. And, you know, maybe it's not working for an esports team, but you're working in this world and having this background is probably going to be beneficial.
Exactly. And you could see with things like Arcane, the recent TV series that is absolutely blowing up, that esports is really working its way into many different industries and parts of this world.
Exactly. That's definitely one of the really big Netflix shows. And obviously The Witcher just came out and that's in the same vein. I'm sure a lot of people are watching season two of that, including myself. So
yes, likewise.
So I know that you're involved in another really exciting project, the Esports University. So tell us a little about that and kind of what some of the classes are and what it encompasses.
Yeah, of course. So with the pandemic that's currently ongoing, I don't need to go into much detail about that. But with that, and just generally how these esports ecosystem and an educational ecosystem, most importantly, is progressing going into the future, we thought it was extremely important to have more accessible options for esports education. And that's why we are currently in the process with talented individuals like yourself, developing a fully online esports education platform. So the esports university will be accessible worldwide. So of course, not everyone is able to join us here in Finland for the full bachelor's degree. That is completely understandable, be it financial difficulties or something like this, or maybe they're just not interested. They want to pursue a degree from the comfort of their own home, from their couch. And of course, that's becoming more and more appealing with the younger generation these days, and that's completely fine. So that's an opportunity that we wanted to expand upon and delve into. So of course, on the topic of online esports education offerings, of course, there's sort of a stigma surrounding that. For good reason. There's been some players in the past who may have offered some opportunities that weren't as beneficial to the participants, like certificates or something like this.
Shame on them.
The cost an arm and a leg, and you're really not getting as much benefit out of that. But with this, from the beginning, from the initial inception of this esports university, it was really important that we followed certain ground rules. So one of which was making it accessible So that was one of the main areas that I touched on before, but also making sure that it's accredited. So as it's backed by County University of Applied Sciences, we're able to actually offer full ECTS credits. So this isn't just a certificate or something like this, a pat on the back. You're getting full university credits. So if you're not familiar with the ECTS credit system, there are university credits that you can apply to most, if not all, universities across the EU. There's some outside the EU as well that accept these forms of credits. So for example, if you go on the platform, complete a course, and you would like to continue your educational career with us or any other university across the EU, most likely you can have these accredited. So you can have a shorter study period to get the full bachelor or use these as, for example, your free choice studies. If you're already within a university, most degrees, at least on the business side, I believe, have these free choice study options towards the later years. So you can really take any sort of classes or courses you'd like. So we really wanted to offer this to anyone across the world who would want to pursue a career in esports, like you said earlier, who are interested in the other career opportunities that are available. And of course, being online, it's highly adaptable. So that was something that was also very important to us, making sure that as the esports industry is constantly changing and evolving, I've been working with authors like yourself, and something that's been coming up in our discussions is that you put out a book on the topic and it very quickly it's becoming outdated, like within a year, 2 years. And that's something that doesn't as often happen in traditional business or something like this. There's books that were published 10, 20 years ago that are still being used in universities. But when it comes to esports, I think the material needs to be adaptable. So something that can be changed and can evolve and grow alongside the community and the ecosystem. So being an online platform, it's easy with that.
Well, in defense of my book, I did realize coming from this traditional world that this stuff was going to change. And I tried to structure it in more of general terms and tried to find the things that aren't going to change. As far as I'm concerned, especially from the business perspective, there are certain things that are ingrained. Mm-hmm. Whether if you're a player and you're assigned to a team, you're probably going to get a salary. How much that is going to fluctuate based on a variety of factors. And those factors are going to weigh differently for everyone. However, you're going to get a salary in most cases. You're going to earn sponsorship revenue, whether you're a team or an event organizer or a player themselves. These are streams of incomes that are highly developed and highly ingrained and are in every other entertainment world. So I don't think overnight that's just going to be a stream of income that's going to evaporate. Who's doing it, whether it's Levi Jeans or Donna Karen or Gucci or Fendi or Prada, is going to change. The idea that a clothing company is sponsoring you, I think that's pretty well established. So, you know, I think the big thing that you mentioned is being able to have the updates, because, you know, even writing curriculum, certain leagues were bought by other people within the 2 month span. And it's like now the whole entire shift, you know, the landscape shifts because one company buys another. And now instead of having two companies, there's only one. But the idea of these companies operating collegiate esports or whatever space doesn't necessarily change. Only the operators change, really.
Exactly. I completely agree. So certain traits and certain business fundamentals will stay the same for years to come. So I completely agree there. And it's something that you can see if you're following the esports landscape, is that cases that you've seen happen in the past, be it in the traditional entertainment like movies, music, or a traditional sports, for example, these cases are playing themselves again here in the esports ecosystem. And I think it's good that we're able to learn from the past and also to continue to develop in the future.
Definitely. So is there a cost for the classes? Kind of how does that work?
No, right now, the current plan is to offer these courses completely free of charge. So of course, based on the university funding system, we're able to get benefits in other ways and support our developers. But that's another huge element of making sure it's accessible. So regardless of your current financial situation, we want to make sure that you're able to have at least the beginning of an esports education. And then if you'd like to continue with full universities, then that's your choice. But we wanted to make this as accessible as possible.
That's amazing. You hear that, everyone? So when this launches, make sure to, you know, sign up, learn a couple things. In addition to myself, there's some really other amazing professors that I personally am going to check their classes out. So definitely be on the lookout for that. So as you were kind of developing courses and working in academia, is there anything you noticed that, you know, courses or curriculum that you feel like are currently lacking that could be expanded or that might be more necessary and really isn't there?
Yeah, I guess in terms of curriculum, at least here at Kaine University, something that I would really like to see expanded on in the future, and something that I've seen some other universities who are doing really well, especially our partner university, Staffordshire, is the broadcasting side. So event broadcasting, the more technical element, should I say, working in the IT and really the more technical components that go into operating an esports event. That's something that's very interesting to me personally and something that I don't have much knowledge in. And I would love to see that brought into our university as well.
Yeah, the behind the scenes technical stuff, being able to run the Twitch stream, but understanding how you fix the sound and the lighting. And like you said, these more technical IT, sound engineers, audio engineers, skills that are highly translatable. You don't necessarily have to do an esports event. You can do a sports event. You can do a concert. You can do Broadway show. You're just learning how to tweak a live broadcast or a television broadcast, not necessarily an esports broadcast.
Exactly. Like you said, those skills transfer regardless of which industry you're in. I've been following quite long, following along with the journey of Raphael, or I don't know if it's Raphael or Raphael, but him and his team do a lot of the stages and stage work for like the ESL tournaments and things like this. And they're also doing like traditional ballet or music concert, things like this. And it's great to see that regardless on what that group is working on, they're able to put together these beautiful stages. And that is something that I would like to transfer to the students and give them, at least if they're interested, the opportunity to delve into that more technical side, since of course the business elements are extremely important to get the knowledge of, for example, an event out there, but it's really up to the back end developers to make it go off without a hitch.
Definitely. I definitely know that there are some schools that kind of, like you said, focus on both the on camera and the behind the scenes. So you can learn how to actually be a caster or an on-air host, as well as being the person that holds the camera and edits the video.
Exactly. Another area that I wanted to be brought in, and an area that I focused on since starting here at the university, is sort of professional and CV development. So, after you've gained all this knowledge, hopefully throughout our degree or whichever degree you're in, how do you actually sort of sell yourself to potential employers upon graduating? And that's why it's amazing to be working, for example, with Hitmarker throughout this academic year. They're providing a lot of sort of CV related workshops and lecture opportunities discussing how the trends are looking in the esports industry. So what career opportunities are becoming most available, how they see trends going in that way. And I think that's extremely important, since you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not able to sell yourself to potential employers, then it's not going to be much use at the end of the day, unfortunately.
Absolutely, right? It's like you have a great story, but if you can't get the words out, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So tell us a little about Camp GG. Are you involved in the player recruitment process, the games that you to play? Like, tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I would love to. This is sort of a passion project of mine and a few other colleagues. It's actually adapted quite significantly since it first began. It did an initial brand change in January, I believe, of this year. It started out, the initial concept of it is that it's a completely student-owned and operated esports organization. So all the staff members, everyone who's operating the events, creating content, everything surrounding the event is esports business students, or mostly. There's a few others like international business and such, but primarily esports business students here at the university. And the general mission statement was for it to be a stepping stone for student talent to enter the workforce, since I think for esports specifically, the practical experience is the main element that we're offering here, and community. So being surrounded by like-minded individuals who have a passion for the business side of this crazy world of gaming and esports, but also providing practical experience in the field. So that's something that's been ingrained into the study curriculum as well. So there's quite a few practical focus courses, so project courses, practical training towards the end of the study. So during those, or if the students partake in those courses, they're able to track pretty much anything they do in the industry. So putting on events, pursuing a content creation career, even playing in some of our teams. They're able to collect the hours that they're putting into that, write a few reports, and they can get full course credits for that. So that's something that, at least from our student feedback and what I believe personally, has been an amazing benefit to our degree here in Kyani, that you can actually get hands-on experience in the field. And Comp.gg has sort of been the main facilitator of that. So it's quite a broad organization. When it started, our main sort of bread and butter is the event management side. We're putting on quite a few events, primarily focusing on Finland and the Nordics. But we have put on some that have brought in teams from across the EU, multi-thousand euro prize pools. So these are quite large scale events that these students are putting on. And everything from the initial ideation to the event planning, graphic creation, marketing, overlays, stream production, everything is being done by the students. So as you can imagine, it's incredible. Hands-on experience, especially on the event management side, but we've also supported student content creators. So we have a featured creators program. So for those who join the university with a social following, be it if they're Twitch streamers or such, we're able to support them in that way and help them grow their social media followings. Of course, we're also trying to build the local ecosystem here in Kyani. So if you're not familiar with Kyani, which I would be surprised if anyone listening to this is familiar with Kyani. It's a very small city here in Finland, like 30,000 or so population, but it's always had, especially with the university, an incredible gaming and esports focused community. And that's something that we work to continually develop and hopefully in the future provide more career opportunities for those wishing to stay here in the region. An example of this is actually we're working with Critical Force, which are the developers of the mobile FPS title Critical Ops, which I believe is one of the most popular mobile shooter esports titles in the world. I think they just got around 10, 20 million euro investment just recently. So they're a massive mobile esports company that's located in the same city as the university. As I said, a very small city. So it's quite amazing to also have them here. And a group of our students, our Russian-speaking students, are actually running their esports ecosystem in the CIS region. So Russia and the CIS region. So they're running their VK page, for example, the Russian Facebook. They're running various tournaments targeting the CIS region. So with that, we've been able to further grow the ecosystem and provide these students with really amazing hands-on experience, at least in my opinion.
I mean, I think that's amazing. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing that everyone talks about, who's like, well, how do you get in the industry? What do you need? Like, what's going to be beneficial? It's this real experience of running an event and not just being there and working for ESL and just, you know, working under five people and you're not really involved in it. Mm-hmm. This is, you're really in the nuts and bolts of the event, of picking the date and time, figuring out the casters, figuring out what the imagery is going to look like, what the event title is going to be. All these little things that probably aren't what you're going to do in most other opportunities. And as someone who's done both of it, intern and worked at these bigger companies, as well as ran my own operations, from figuring the venue, figuring out what the drink special is going to be, who the DJ is going to be, who the other partners in the event, and how you're going to get people there, and what the social media copy looks like, what the wording of how you promote it looks like. All of these things are things you learn and evolve over time. How you write the email heading for the blast, you know, do you write the full date out, like when you do it, what the time, like these are all things that you only learn by doing. And the fact that you're able to give them the opportunity to either be a content creator and have this support from a staff, or run a team and field teams in different competitions and even run the competitions, I think is, you know, really invaluable, and the kind of experiences you should be getting in college. And this is what I think differentiates those that are doing it the right way and those that are just doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. And at least how I view it, of course, what you're learning in the classroom is extremely valuable, but I see it as sort of the foundation. So you have to build your foundation, the initial knowledge of business operations and things like this. But after that, you really need to, as you said, build upon it. And there's only certain things that you can learn by doing. And that's something that I'm at least very proud that we're able to offer to our students.
Absolutely. So why is working with this demographic, you know, college age student, what's so unique about it? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's been amazing. And of course, I'm not too old myself. So it's really, I see everyone as my colleagues in this. And the younger generation, of course, is one of the most knowledgeable on esports. They've grown up in this sort of online environment with gaming and competitive esports. And so they're the most knowledgeable, at least in my opinion, on this topic. And they're the most passionate as well. What they've been able to accomplish just with limited or no experience on the business side has been incredible. And I think that's something that's quite unique working, for example, with college students. They're just excited to be involved in any way they can. I think when you're initially starting in a university or college program, you're expecting to be sitting in a classroom for 6-8 hours a day. And when they're actually coming here and they're able to put on events or join competitive rosters if playing's their passion and pursue that and be fully supported by the staff here, not just myself. We have an incredible support staff here on the esports side who are really understanding that people's educational journeys are different. So be it if you're coming here as a semi-professional player and you really want to pursue that side, or if you're completely new to esports and you're making, we have a few students who are in their 40s and they're making a career change late in life and they don't have as much experience, working with them to sort of show them the community and how the esports ecosystem works. We really wanted to make it as inclusive as possible. So regardless of where you're coming from or what you're looking to do in the future, we're able to support you with that.
Awesome. So kind of looking towards the future, what's the future of the program at the university and how are you trying to evolve it?
Yeah, so I think it's, even though it's been around for 3 years now, that in the landscape or the scope of university degrees, that's extremely new. A lot of these other degrees, even at our university, have been around for 20 or so years. So there's still a lot to learn. And that's something that at least I pride ourselves on, is that we're very much open to collaboration. So I'm constantly working with industry partners here in Europe and abroad to provide additional opportunities to our students, be it internships, theses, projects, things like this, but also working with other universities. So I really don't believe in the concept of being sort of shut door. So not providing information out there and collaborating and trying to really grow together. So of course, like the term raising tides raise all ships. So I really believe in working together with other educational providers in the esports edu community and continuing to adapt what we offer. Since we launched 3 years ago, what we offered then to now is completely different, or not completely, but there's been quite a few changes in terms of the curriculum and the facilities and how we market ourselves. So I think that will just continue to develop going forward. And sort of the main focus surrounding all of that is how do we provide as much benefit to the students as possible? So when they come through the doors to when they leave, they're really being offered a truly beneficial experience that will improve their life in the future, be it if they're in esports or another industry.
Amazing. I mean, I think that that's kind of the biggest thing, is you have to have people that want to do it and that this is going to help them, you know, that there's a tangible benefit for it.
Exactly. I think the selling esports education isn't that difficult. Like when we launched, as you can imagine, it got a lot of interest worldwide, being one of the first, and still to this day, there's not that many esports education opportunities across the world. So if you're a young kid up and coming and you're an esports fan, of course, knowing that you could study esports is extremely exciting. But we really wanted to make sure that we weren't taking advantage of that and just saying, well, they're going to come regardless, so who really cares, right? But from the beginning, it was important that not only are we able to get these excited students, but they're not let down by what they're experiencing, that they're truly getting an education, a valuable education, and most importantly, that they're actually able to use what they learn to pursue a career and make a career in the space.
Absolutely. So to kind of bring it all towards the end, what's the future of college esports, especially internationally? Do you see it continuing to grow on the academic side and the competitive side, and how is it going to grow?
in short, yes, I definitely see that it will continue to grow. At least personally, I've been approached by many universities who are looking to develop some sort of esports related curriculum across the EU and worldwide. There's been quite a few, so I've seen the trend that this is something that's becoming more and more interesting. Of course, I'm sometimes hesitant, and I just hope that a lot of these universities share the same ideals that we do in terms of how to develop a sustainable degree that's truly providing benefit to the students, and it's not just some sort of marketing ploy or something like this to bring in revenue to the universities. But I definitely think that there's a lot of players in the space who have true intentions at heart and are really just looking to provide opportunities for the up and coming youth. So that's been amazing. And I really think it will continue to grow going forward. And on the sort of collegiate and competitive side, that's something, as I said, we do have teams, and it's something that will continue to be developed, at least here in Finland. And I see from across the EU, there's quite a few university focused leagues, especially coming out of like the UK, for example, that are looking to expand into the Nordics and such. So I think the collegiate scene will also continue to grow. And I think that is an important aspect of the educational side as well, since a lot of the time you're getting these students who are coming, but are also very interested in the playing side. And we want to make sure that we don't crush any ambitions there and saying like, oh no, just give up on the playing side. Now you're here to study business. We want to make sure that you can do both at the same time. I think it's always good to have sort of a landing pad if the playing career doesn't work out. But if you really want to pursue that, I think that should be in your full right. And we want to provide as many opportunities as possible with that, be it in collegiate leagues to get your name out there to potential professional leagues or teams like this.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's a great point you bring up, that they are starting to develop in these different countries, and eventually there's going to be more interest and more need, and the prize pools are going to grow to where there will be teams from Finland and the UK coming to, you know, play in America. There will be these international championships. This collegiate scene is going to continue to grow, and it's just a matter of more universities all over the place just continuing to do it.
Exactly. And I've always been a supporter of the sort of locality-based leagues and teams. I think that's maybe a touchy subject for some. A lot of people think esports should be, you know, fully international, so not focused on these like the Overwatch League or the Call of Duty League that's really locality-based, so have the city names in them and things like this. But that's something, maybe it's coming from the traditional sports side, that I really enjoy. Like back when I was in Canada, being able to support like the Raptors or the Leafs when they're playing. It's always the best for me, being able to really rep your home country or home city. And I think that's something that these collegiate leagues provide, that you can support your fellow classmates, your colleagues, and those who attend the university, which is always exciting.
Definitely. I was actually on Rutgers campus this past weekend for a high school esports championship, and the Rutgers esports team was out there supporting, and the Seton Hall esports team was there. And it's just exciting to see these people coming to support overall community in their state, in their area, and that the fact that it even exists. Like, they have this really nice esports lounge. I'm like, wow, I wish my cafeteria in college had an esports lounge that you can just go in and just play League of Legends for 20 minutes on a high-end computer.
Exactly. And I hope and I see that that will continue to be developed in not only North America, but worldwide as well, which is extremely exciting for those up and coming.
Right. So everyone out there, take advantage of it. So, you know, I just like to end each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm still following Call of Duty, even though I think some people, me included, have seen it go in a certain direction that we may not always love. But I'm always a lifetime Green Wall fan, Optic. So I support them. Everything they're doing, of course, I've been following along with Halo now. And just went recently, it's been a while now, but to the PGL Major in Stockholm. So that's really ignited a flame in me around CSGO. That was an amazing event, an amazing experience. So I think going forward, I'll be following CS quite closely as well.
Amazing. So what's your favorite game to play?
Playing most likely Call of Duty as well. It might be a common answer through here, but I've really been reaching into the PC esports as well. Of course, it's extremely important that I'm knowledgeable of those, but I've become quite passionate with, for example, Valorant, especially with comp.gg. We're hosting quite a few tournaments and teams in that title. So I got into it through that, and I've been loving it so far.
Awesome. So who's your favorite video game character? Mario, Luigi, Pikachu, Sonic?
Ooh, I think maybe some people won't know this one, but I think this was the first, of course, not an esports game, but video game I ever played. It was called Pajama Sam. It was one of those like DVD games back on the old school PCs that I think came in a cereal box or something like this in Canada, but it was this guy with a cape and he went through these different levels. But yeah, I think that was my first sort of transition or introduction into gaming when I was very, very young. I don't even know, like 8 or something like this. So Pajama Sam will always be my favorite video game character, I think.
I can't say I'm familiar with him, but you know, things are a little different up north of the border than they are here. So
things get weird up there. But look it up. Look up Pajama Sam. Maybe you'll recognize him.
Definitely. So, you know, thanks so much for joining us. This was extremely insightful. So tell everybody where they can find you and connect with you and the university and everything that you guys are doing.
Of course. So if you'd like to connect with me personally, you can find me at Richard R. Withers. On pretty much all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, etc. If you're interested in learning more about the university, the esports business degree, you can follow us or the university at Kajani AMK. So it's KajaniAMK. Instagram, Twitter, etc. You can also visit compbachelor.fi, and on there you can learn more, for example, about our esports business degree. And of course, if you want to learn more about comp.gg, participate in some of our tournaments and events and support our student community here, you can follow us at comp.gg on most platforms or visit comp.gg, our website. I think that's everything.
Well, thanks everybody again for tuning in, and make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ, and check Apple Podcasts for all our past episodes. Thanks and have a great holiday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.